Welcome to CPAC Today in Politics. Coming up, the federal government prepares to announce a plan to ban single-use plastics.
The list is said to include plastic straws, cotton swabs like Q-tips, drink stirrers, and plastic plates and cutlery.
Is Doug Ford a threat to Andrew Scheer's election plans?
They're concerned that Ford is playing too large of a role in a campaign that he is not part of. And I think both sides will admit to that.
And Elizabeth May says in the event of a minority parliament, the Green Party will only work with a party that's serious about greenhouse gas emissions.
Maybe, I don't rule it out, that the Liberals and the Conservatives, who knows, if they actually woke up one morning and realized, oh my God, by the time my children are my age, they won't have a livable world. I can't live with that. We've actually got to do what's required.
It's Monday, June 10th. I'm Mark Sutcliffe. Let's get right to the top political stories this morning. I'm joined by Peter Van Dusen, CPAC's executive producer and the host of Primetime Politics. Good morning, Peter.
Morning, Mark.
In the context of federal politics, we've been hearing a lot about Doug Ford lately, the Ontario Premier, who just celebrated the first anniversary late last week of the election which brought him to power. Is Doug Ford, do you think, dragging Andrew Scheer down, or does he have the potential to do so, or are provincial and federal politics separate and distinct from each other enough that Andrew Scheer can carve out his own way in this federal campaign?
Yeah, I don't think they're ever, and in this particular election, you know, maybe more than others, I don't think they're ever completely distinct. And I think you can sort of add this to the list of what we're going to see. I mean, you know, there's the Doug Ford Andrew Scheer relationship, but you know, the notion that you know provincial politics won't play a role in a federal election campaign. Look what's happening in Saskatchewan with Scott Moe taking on Justin Trudeau. You can bet that he's going to have lots to say during the campaign about Justin Trudeau and how bad he is for Saskatchewan. Jason Kenney's doing the same thing in Alberta. To some extent, Blaine Higgs is doing that, you know, in New Brunswick. So you've got this kind of united front of conservative premiers that are taking on Justin Trudeau. To somehow, I think it's kind of odd to think that somehow Doug Ford would just suddenly fade into the background and have no effect. I think it doesn't stand up to close scrutiny. I think, yeah, sure, people in Ontario are going to pay close attention to what Doug Ford is doing in Ontario. And they're going to wonder about Andrew Scheer is going to spend a lot of time trying to deflect that kind of criticism, and he's going to try and keep the two political streams distinct and separate. But I think he's going to have a hard time doing that. And my prediction is you'll see during the election campaign you're going to see the Liberals and you know resurrect those shots in the final days of the last campaign of Stephen Harper campaigning with the Fords. And they're going to make that connection again for voters. Look, these two politicians are ideologically cut from the same cloth. And as much as Andrew Scheer tries to resist that, I think that's going to be the target against him. Can he be successful at doing it? Maybe. I think it's going to depend on the kind of policies he puts forward. If he's putting forward policies that don't look like Doug Ford policies, you know, and don't have the same effect and don't have the same pushback as Doug Ford policies, then maybe he can, you know, he can be successful at putting some distance between himself and the Premier of Ontario.
Now, related to that is the whole issue of the economy in Ontario and in Canada and the issue of affordability. And a question that arises out of that is why is there so much uncertainty about the Canadian economy right now? Is it a Donald Trump factor? Is it something else? Because by and large, the numbers have been okay, if not good. But there is still this sense that we're on fragile economic ground right now.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's a really interesting, I think that, yeah, and you're going to hear more of this as we get closer to the election too. I think, you know, I've talked before, Mark, and I still think the issue of affordability is going to end up in its many forms. I think it's going to end up being the key driver in the election campaign is how do people actually feel they're doing financially, economically. And I think that's what's going to decide the vote for a lot of people is who's got the best policies for them and their families when it comes time to mark a ballot. I think as I look at it, I think what I see is a kind of really interesting dynamic playing out. Is you've got pretty good economic news, and you know a government that's created a million jobs in the last couple of years or close to that, working on trade deals. Trying to make sure that people in the, there are more people in the middle class that people feel better about where they're going. But, you know, there's still those naggingly high household debt levels. And I think the big change is that you have a government in this country that says, look at all the good things we're doing. But I think there's a widespread feeling, among the electorate and among Canadians in general, even those maybe who don't vote, that, we're being buffeted by outside forces, that the government can say it's doing all these things, and maybe it is, but they worry about what the government can control. Look at what's happening with China. Look at how unpredictable Donald Trump is. Look at all these other factors that a government in this country can't control. And I think that's what has a lot of people concerned about where we might be headed, not next week or even, next month, or maybe not even next year, but 10 years down the road, what's our economy going to look like, with all kinds of predictions that the growth rates we're seeing, now may be the best growth rates we see over the next 3 or 4 or 5 years.
All right, let's talk about Elizabeth May. The Green Party leader did a televised interview yesterday in which she said that if there is a minority parliament situation, the Green Party will only work with another party that has a serious plan to address cutting greenhouse gas emissions. How do you see that playing out? Because obviously the Green Party's ambitions in this area are a lot more aggressive than even the Liberal Party's.
Yeah, and I think that ties into the where we came in our discussion about concerns and anxieties about affordability. There's a direct connection. I think a lot of people are uncertain about what climate change is going to cost, what the benefits are, what the pros are, what the negatives are, and I don't think that's become clear to people. So I think that's another thing they worry about is we think we need to do something about climate change. That's pretty clear, but how is it going to actually affect me? How can I be on the positive side of a changing economy related to climate change? But I guess the big question I have is when Elizabeth May says she'll only work with a party that has a serious climate plan, is what does serious mean? I think we need a little more meat on that bone to sort of define, what her ground rules are for a serious climate plan. The Liberals and Conservatives are basically on the same page in terms of targets, although we haven't seen the new Andrew Scheer plan, but both of those parties stand at this time committed to, 30% cuts in emissions, from 2005 levels by 2030. New Democrats are talking, emissions cuts somewhere in the aggressively in the 40 to 50% range. Elizabeth May is talking about 60% cuts in emissions from 2005 levels by 2030. That's double what the Conservatives and Liberals have been talking about. So what does it mean to have a serious climate plan? Is it somewhere in between? Is it does it have to be the green target? If that's what the Greens are going to hold out if for some reason, we end up with the Greens in a position of holding the balance of power, if she's going to tie somebody to 60% emissions cuts, I think that's going to be a really interesting political debate in this country.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see if that becomes a leverage point in negotiations over which party gets to form a government in
right.
a minority parliament situation. Let's talk
a
little.
Of course, and the other thing to remember in all of this is so far, no matter what the targets have been, nobody's been hitting them. So.
Yeah, great point. Let's talk about China. Of course, over the weekend, there were protests in Hong Kong over new extradition rules, and they turned violent. Canada and other countries obviously are observing what's going on there, commenting on it to some extent. But right now, everything to do with China, Canada has to tread very carefully, of course, because of the dynamic between the two countries and the Canadians that are detained there. There continues to be talk about what the potential solution is to this standoff between the two countries, whether Justin Trudeau will meet with the president of China himself or whether Jean Chrétien is going to serve as an envoy in some capacity. How do you see all of this playing out?
Yeah, I wish I had a crystal ball, but I don't. I'm not sure how it plays out. So far, most of Canada's efforts to connect with the highest levels of the Chinese government to try and move this situation forward have been rebuffed by the Chinese. We know that different working groups are trying to work around the edges at some of these things. The arrested Canadians, the ban on Canadian canola imports, and the Chinese shutting down a number of other agricultural imports. Exports from this country. So I'm not sure. And, the talk about Jean Chrétien going over there to solve things. I mean, it's interesting. And I think where it comes from is interesting. I mean, it's not the first time we've heard this in the last number of months. It's come up before, but the fact that it's a former Conservative Prime Minister, Brian Mulroney, suggesting that Jean Chrétien might be the guy to find a way out of all of this, it's interesting. And, you know, the Liberal government so far, through a spokesperson, has said, look, we've heard this before. That's not in our plans right now. We're still working to get things done. But I'm not sure whether the current Liberal government, you know, would look favorably on Jean Chrétien going over to try and fix a problem of theirs, and whether that might reflect on the current prime minister and why he couldn't get it done. So I think there's lots of open questions still on this relationship, but surely the truth before us is, and the evidence before us is, that Canada's really got to stick handle this carefully. Anytime they're presented with a question about taking a position on actions of the Chinese, they're going to have all of this as to consider as part of whatever decision they come to, and what effect that might have on how the Chinese continue to treat Canadians in China, and how they continue to, you know, trade the economic relationship with this country.
All right. Lots to watch for in the weeks ahead, leading up to the election in the fall. It's going to be a busy summer. Peter, thank you so much for joining us today.
Always a pleasure, Mark. We'll talk soon.
That's CPAC's Peter Van Dusen. Now, here's what political columnists and commentators are writing about today. In the Toronto Star, Robin Sears argues that politicians and tech giants fail to take fake news seriously. Sears writes, social media titans claim that by hiring human screeners to look out for filth and fibs, they are fixing the problem, while many third parties attempt to play watchdog. But why is this mess not better governed by statute, regulations, and clear penalties, just as television broadcasters and newspapers are? Why would we cede to Facebook the right to be the judge of what is acceptable? In the Toronto Sun, Brian Lilly argues a growing threat to Justin Trudeau's re-election may come from a source few would have considered just a few months ago. Lilly writes, the latest poll from Campaign Research shows support for the Green Party on the rise, helping split the progressive vote three ways. While Elizabeth May is still a long way from becoming prime minister, her party's change in fortunes is coming at the expense of the NDP and the Liberals. And while Justin Trudeau and Andrew Scheer are tied in voter approval at 32%, May trumps them both with a 35% approval rating. In the Globe and Mail, David Mosgrop argues Ontario Premier Doug Ford is hardly alone in his belief that he earned the right to start fresh from the previous government's reign. Mosgrop writes, in Alberta, United Conservative Party leader Jason Kenney has already gotten to work on slashing through Rachel Notley's legacy at every turn. The federal Liberals made just such a bogeyman of Stephen Harper, vowing once in office they would replace him with positive change. So much so that they failed to see how that might directly lead Justin Trudeau to some of the problems now before him. The frenetic politics of wrecking ball governance is neither progressive nor conservative. It's simply destructive. Now, here's what's coming up on Canada's political agenda. The Prime Minister and Environment Minister Catherine McKenna are expected to announce the federal government's plan to ban many single-use plastics. CPAC's Martin Stringer has more on that.
Mark, many people have been waiting for the federal government to move ahead on its promise to ban single-use plastics, especially since it was last June at the G7 summit in Charlevoix when, with much fanfare, the Trudeau government announced the Canada-led Oceans Plastics Charter. But since then, there has been nothing concrete, and at the same time, the European Union has moved ahead and passed a comprehensive ban on a whole list of plastics. Reports say that the Prime Minister and Minister McKenna will today unveil the list of single-use plastics that Canada plans to take action on. However, the first of the bans will only come into effect in 2021. The list is said to include plastic straws, cotton swabs like Q-tips, drink stirrers, and plastic plates and cutlery used in fast foods. Also, the ban will apply to fast food containers and cups made of expanded polystyrene, similar to styrofoam. A report released last year found that only 9% of the plastic waste that's produced by Canadians is recycled. 87% of it ends up in landfills, and most plastics take up to 1,000 years to decay. Canadians are said to throw away around 34 million plastic bags every single day. So, Mark, today's announcements will be watched with much interest by so many people concerned about the environment.
Thanks, Martin. Also today, Minister of Science and Sport Kirsty Duncan will deliver the opening remarks at the Canadian Concussion Prevention Workshop in Ottawa. Minister of Infrastructure François-Philippe Champagne will attend an infrastructure event in Pike River, Quebec, and will also make an announcement in Montreal. Tourism Minister Mélanie Joly will make an announcement in Montreal. Innovation Minister Navdeep Bains will speak at the Conference of Montreal. Immigration Minister Ahmed Hussein will attend an infrastructure announcement in Toronto. And Small Business Minister Mary Ng will be in Markham, Ontario, to meet with small business owners and entrepreneurs. And that's CPAC Today in Politics for Monday, June the 10th. Tune into Primetime Politics tonight on CPAC for coverage of all the day's events. Our podcast returns tomorrow morning. Have a great day.